Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab from the Casino USA podcast. And today's episode, number 68, is entitled, You Ain't Dead Until... and the answer to that will become very clear as you listen along with us. Hey, and we got that enthusiastic digital audience again, even bigger than last episode. We love these people because they don't make a mess in the studio. Well, we got a lot coming at you today, and we'll be right back after this short break.
May I please have your attention? The store will be closing in 5 minutes.
Well, we hope our intro wakes you up and you're ready to go. Hey, we just got back from a wonderful trip to southern Indiana. We were at the Belterra Casino Resort in Florence, Indiana for 2 nights, comped, courtesy of Boyd Gaming. We thank you for that. And we spent 1 night at the Rising Star in their lodge hotel on property. And then we came back to Western Pennsylvania and the Pittsburgh suburbs. So let's just focus on that. You know, we had talked about hopefully meeting up with anybody in the Midwest. Our demographic reports show us that we have a large following in the Midwest, and you know, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan. Oh my, did I say Illinois? Excuse me, there's no noise in Illinois. All right. And the first night at the Belterra, I said, you know, look for the guy with Notre Dame attire, and it possibly could be Coach Fab. And I... Early in the evening, I ran into a fan, and I had the Notre Dame t-shirt on, and he said, are you Coach Fab? We were at a craps table, and I was right in Dead Man's Corner, I call it, down from the Stick Man's left on that first corner. It was the only place I could get into. But I said, yes, I am. He goes, well, thank goodness, because I asked two other people that had Notre Dame attire on, and it wasn't you. Anyway, I met Andrew. What a wonderful young man. Father of twins from Lexington, Kentucky, drove up to play some craps with us. And he's a natural. He has a natural throw. His arm sweep, his release, he sets the dice carefully. It's perfect. I mean, truthfully, it's perfect. But neither one of us could get things going for long. You know, we had some time. We had a little bit of success, but we just couldn't get things going for long. We both lost a little money, not a ton of money, but we both lost money. But we had this wonderful conversation. Andrew's sister is a Notre Dame graduate, and she's a physician now. And I loved hearing about his family. And when I meet people like Andrew, these young parents, and I still have hope in America's future. You know, these are good people. But unfortunately, we just couldn't get it going. And hence the title of this podcast, You Ain't Dead Until, and this is credited to Jimmy the Greek, allegedly credited to Jimmy the Greek, you ain't dead in craps until your ass is cold, you know, and that's just the nature of craps. Let's, you know, you could lose, and have a big win. Well, I had a big win the next day. In fact, I had planned to play later in the afternoon on a second day, but it was so hot. And, you know, I talked about Janie and swimming pools. We went in that first day when we got there, Sunday evening, and it was just so crowded. I mean, she couldn't swim. We got wet. And, you know, we talked to some cool people, too, in the pool. But she had me down. We were the first people there in the morning. We had our pick of the chairs. And really, for about 30 minutes, we were all alone. There was somebody poolside from the hotel. It looked like this young guy was asleep. You know, he was certainly not into customer service, but he barely said good morning. He went back to sleep, put his head on. They have an outdoor bar there, really cool looking place, like, you know, tiki kind of bar. But anyway, apparently his supervisor wasn't around, so he kind of slept through our first 30 minutes. And the pool was empty, so really Jane got some of her power swimming in, which was good. But, geez, it was so hot. We knew the sun was going to get to us. So we ordered lunch there. There's a a golf restaurant deli right next door. It's, again, this is all part of the property. Just cross out of the swimming pool and go into this little building. And they were open and fine. And we had a club sandwich, which we split. Oh, my goodness, it was amazingly good, amazingly good. And I had my first beer of the day, and I think Janie had just a Diet Coke or something like that. But it was really, really wonderful sandwich. And we figured, you know, we better get out of the sun. And we were in there 3 hours in the sun, and it was time to get out. And so I got to the craps table in early afternoon. You know, I went up to the room, took a shower, changed, and all that, and came back down. I told, hey, this is going to be day two here. I got to get going. You know, I had lost last night about $90, and I had to get it moving here, you know, on the craps table. So I was going to play regular craps because the night before, the only table that was a $5 table was crapless craps. And doggone it, that was the only choice I had again. And that was because it was the only table that was open. What are you going to do? And I told you, this is growing, this thing with $5 tables and crapless craps in the Midwest. I'm not a big fan of it. But anyway, so I said, okay, I was going to play deal or no deal, but you need a don't pass line to do that. But I still could make my three-way craps bets. And something that I appreciated, which I never really noticed before, I should have. You know, you make a three-way craps bet, and let's say a 12 comes up. Well, you win. You know, I usually open up with $6 three-way craps and a pass line bet of $8, $12, something like that, to cover it, plus a little, you know, winnings if a 7-11 does come up. But then I realized on three-way craps, if you roll a 2, a 3, or a 12, you get a second chance to win again because, in a sense, because those numbers don't go away. They become point numbers. That's the thing. That's why it's called crapless craps. But I never really thought about that before, you know, that you get a second chance. Pretty hard to make those points. And if you've done, you know, make all small, make all tall, and make them all, if you played that, you're aware of how hard it is sometimes to get the 2, 3, and a 12. But For the first time, I did it. I made them all. And along the way, I made myself some money, $800, a little bit past that. And I made some other people a whole lot of money. I went across those bets, those proposition bets, for $3. You know, a dollar on make all small, and then make all tall, and then a dollar on make them all, which was 175-1. So when I made them all, I obviously got paid for make them small and make them all tall, which was 35-1. So, you know, I did all right on that. But there was three players that had gone 15 across, 5-5-5. So just alone on the make them all, you know, they were $5 times 175. That was sweet. Yeah, they were really encouraging me as we went along. And I was throwing from a different place, not from that dead man's corner. I like to play right, throw right by the stick man or stick person. Politically correct. Or from the middle of the table, particularly on these shorter tables, from the end of the table, looking straight down, easy street, I call it. And I was throwing the same thing I threw the night before, but now it seems like, well, I just couldn't make a 7. You know, I just couldn't make a 7. And that was looking down and seeing a 6 and where my thumb was behind the dice, a 4 on the inside, a 5 on the outside, a 2, and in front of the dice that was going to look at that opposite wall was a 3-1. So 6-4, the second dice right beside it, the second die had a 4-6. 6-4, 4-6, I call it a 64 set. And you know, more often than not, for the past several months, it's just been really, really paying off for me. So I'm just asking you, it's not a very common set. I got it from, of all people, somebody who sells systems for a living, the Bone Thrower. I saw one of his videos, and I didn't buy the system, but I borrowed the set. 6-4. So give it a shot. See what happens. $800 win. And, you know, I played it pretty much 3-2-1 Craps, and 3-2-1 Craps was put on Color Up by Jeremy Alaric. It has over 108,000 views in just 10 months, and that's our system, 3-2-1 Craps. You can get the complete details of that on Color Up. Check it out. But I actually increase my odds bets. The 3-2-1 tells you what kind of odds bet to make. Three times the pass line on a 6 or 8 is for low rollers, of course. 2 times on a 5 or 9, and just 1 times odds on a 4 or 10. But I had such good success immediately that I started to push up my odds. I never went over $30 on the odds, but probably should have. I was just, I couldn't lose. I mean, I was making all those numbers. So you ain't dead till your ass is cold. Doesn't mean you should chase losses. It just means that just because you lost or because you're losing one experience, you know, with craps or other games that you love, doesn't mean that it's not going to be different the second time or the third time. So, you know, have faith, dig in, come back again. I think it's good sometimes to leave a losing table, even if you're going to play an hour later, you know, kind of get refreshed, shake it off, and come back. Again, maybe change your position on the table, maybe change the dice set, maybe even change the table if there's other tables that are there. But I don't think you just stay in a losing situation. But Andrew and I didn't do that. We both had a loss limit, and we didn't want to get to it. And, you know, we said goodbye. I really appreciated the fact that he came up to say hello and play a little craps with us. And hopefully we'll meet again. So thank you. Next day, I met 5 players who were podcast followers and listeners, and talked to them afterwards. And of course, everybody was friendly because everybody wants some money. But so Andrew's friendship was, I guess, more precious in some ways because we lost money and we still got along fine. So again, that's what we did. And Southern Indiana, again, these riverboat resorts, they're going to crapless craps on $5 tables. And sometimes in these smaller casinos, that's the only table that's open. If you're a fan of Samstown in Las Vegas, or if you're from the Midwest and you've played in Michigan City, Indiana, the Blue Chip, the Belterra has been taken over by Boyd Gaming, and they own some Vegas casinos, and the big one is Samstown. And of course, the founder was Sam Boyd. And the story is that Sam started the gaming aspect to the family by a tremendous win in blackjack. So it can happen. We did stay one night at the Rising Star, but, you know, we'll talk a little bit maybe later about it. It was just disappointing that one of those things, you know, we love the Rising Star, but just had some bad experiences hotel-wise because of, I think, understaffing. And add to that a hotel shuttle that was out of service. And the infamous River Road between Florence and Rising Sun, Indiana, was also closed because of construction. So we tried a different route. Here's that story. Go up the River Road 25, 26 miles till you get to Rising Sun, Indiana, which is where the Rising Star Casino is. And it's just, it's terrible road. Well, it's under construction now and it's closed. And the people at the casino told us that the detour off that road is just fatiguing. It's, you know, it's turns, it's 15, 20 mile an hour. It's, you know, not very well marked. So I talked to a bartender, a wonderful, friendly fellow, who lives closer to Rising Sun. And he said, let me give you the way the natives here are going to Rising Sun from Florence. And so I wanted to share it with you. It might help a few people because it was just incredibly easy. Well, when you come out of the Belterra, instead of turning right toward the Rising Sun, you make a left. You go down past the Markleland Bridge, and you keep going. Now, there's a couple of miles you'll see Markleland Road. You forget that. But you want to get to Markleland Pike, Markle Pike, and you make a right on that. And you know that's going to climb these hills that were against the river. Obviously, the river set in the valley. And it's not a bad road. It's well paved. It's a little bit windy, but it's Markleland Pike comes out. I'm guessing 3-4 miles. It comes out on Route 56, and you want to turn right east. You're going to go 56 east, and you just follow it. You're going toward Aberdeen, and there's a dollar store there, a big one, a post office. You'll know it's there. And once you get to Aberdeen, the road will continue through, and you just go through town. There's a stoplight, and it starts to curve and such, and then it heads toward the drop again. You start to go down and down, and you know you're going down closer to Rising Sun. And you come out right where the detour is going the other way, and you're 2 or 3 miles from Rising Sun. It was 20 minutes, but it was 20 minutes of easy driving. So Markle Land Pike, not Markle Land Road, go up that Markle Pike till you get to 56 East. You make a right, go on there several miles past Aberdeen and through it, and then continue on 56 East till you come down and you're just outside of Rising Sun about 2-3 miles. Easy, easy as pie. Okay, we'll come back for part two of our episode.
Awesome!
Well, part two is about video poker, and awesome is the correct word because it simply was awesome. I wasn't that upset about losing the $90 in craps the first night because I had won a couple $100 in video poker. And the next day, can you believe this? You know, I'm playing a progressive machine and I'm playing max bets and I get 2 fours and I pick up 2 fours. That's great. You know, it pays 125 times the bet. But wait a second. The bartender comes over. I guess they could tell from the back, or he saw by my face. I had my hands up in the air. He said, "Nice hit." I hit it again while I'm talking to him, and I get dealt up. I get dealt 4 fours, back to back fours, max bet, progressive machine. Come on, that's what you call luck of the Irish, baby. Wow, and. You know, I'm starting to appreciate this thing about if you're going to play slot machines, try to play video poker more often than not, you know, because it seems like they just pay better than ordinary slot machines. Now, my wife's going to say, wait a second on that one, because she'll talk about a big hit that she had at the Belterra. At the Rising Star, the afternoon of our check-in, let's see, that was Tuesday afternoon. I found I went up to the top level, which is non-smoking. It's a very small area. If there's an elevator up there, I didn't see it. Instead, there's a big wide stairway. Reminds me of the old time riverboats. But up on top, it's just basically a carpeted catwalk with banister all the way around it. And there are slot machines and, you know, some pot machines, that kind of thing. I found a progressive poker machine that was a nickel machine. Believe it or not, you could play a nickel a hand. So a max bet was 25 cents, but it was progressive. So max bet was progressive, but a royal flush paid 4,000 times the bet. Come on. Wait a second. I started thinking, well, if you're going to play these lower level machines, you know, grab one of these, like they don't pay off, you know, as well on the lower levels, you know, like two jacks, two pair, three of a kind. You know, those are all 1-1-1 instead of like, you know, 1-2 and then more. And that's where they make up the difference. But I mean, if you're up after that big money and you don't want to put $300, $400 into a machine, you could play literally, in my opinion, all afternoon on $100. I played a long time on 20, you know what I mean? And I walked out of there, I think it was $45 ahead, which I thought, well, hey, that's going to cover dinner, you know, which it did. So we weren't going to eat at the buffet because I didn't want to spend that much money, but had a $45 ticket there, you know what I mean? And it was... it wasn't BOGO. It was the Rising Star Senior Citizens Day Tuesday. Thursday is the Belterra one. It's BOGO. But this one was a much lower price. I think it was, we didn't know how low it was going to be. We didn't know this was going to happen. I think it was $8 each person. And for a buffet, that's like McDonald's prices, you know? And so pot roast was the big one there. We thought it was really good. It wasn't as, you know, a fancy buffet like you'd see in most casino resorts, but it was a budget rate one, but it was good. I'm not going to argue about it. It was good. All right. Video poker. What can we say? Well, those low-level progressive machines might be one way to go. I don't think you should always play max bet if you can't afford it, but if you're playing at lower levels, you know, make sure you play some max bets, you know, because that's where the big money's going to be made. That's where the big money's going to be made. And why would you play a nickel machine in one hand for a nickel? I wouldn't, but the reason I think it's a great thing, if you have somebody brand new to video poker, maybe start them out on a machine like that, you know, where they can learn all the cards and how it works and so on and get comfortable without losing a ton of money and never wanting to play again. You know, so look for those machines. I've seen them in other places too. There's some near Pittsburgh in the Meadows. They have a nickel machine. It's not progressive though. So, but anyway, look for those kinds of machines and you can teach somebody how to play video poker in those machines relatively quickly. All right. Okay, I have another video poker tip for you to consider. This tip comes from the Frugal Gambler Casino Guide. That's Jean Scott, the Queen of Comps. This is her latest book. I think it's 2 or 3 years old now, but it's a great one. It's better than the first one, I think. And she calls this Smile from the Internet number one, and these are her words. You don't want to base your video poker strategy on what you see other players hold. Since at least 99% of the other players, you know, playing video poker, don't know what the heck they're doing. I always remember the guy who was playing right next to my wife and asked her why she held low pairs all the time. Since the machine said jacks are better, he never held a pair below jacks. Come on. You know, oh my goodness. It's true. You've got to learn yourself. I mean, you can't base on what you do on the people around you, that's for sure, because you could get somebody that's going to not hold a pair because it's not a pair of jacks when you're playing jacks or better. Come on. Please. I know it's funny. The other thing that I should say, and I'm sure Gene Scott said it 10,000 times, you know, I play jacks or better. I love to play jacks or better progressive, as you can see from or listen from this video, but remember that pay tables differ. You can play jacks or better on one machine has a different pay table than jacks or better on other machines. So don't be afraid when you sit down to check all the different denominations you could play at. I mean, some dollar machines you can't play lower than a dollar. Other dollar machines you could play 25 cents, you know. So check that and set the machine for what you want. Don't try to impress people, you know, based on your budget and your experience. Okay, so please understand that. But also check that 9-6 thing. So the ideal, let's just talk about the first one coin in. Full house should pay 9, and the flush should give you 6. So if you kick it all the way out to the fifth coin, that's the maximum bet, it should pay 45 for a full house and 30 for a flush. You know, so that's what we're talking about. 9-6, that's the ideal. Harder and harder to find. And boy, you can get paybacks 98, 99, 99.5%. Sit down and play. That's where you want to be. Janie and I are so excited about going up to Reno in October. You know, our excitement is generated by the fact that we have a granddaughter who's a freshman, who'll be a freshman at the University of Nevada, Reno, this fall, and we're going to visit her in October. But also, that might be the best place in the country to play video poker from everything I've read in the American Casino Guide. I mean, they just have remarkable paybacks on video poker. So that suits me just fine. Okay, very short break, and we'll get into part 3 of today's podcast, You Ain't Dead. You can finish it now until your ass is cold. All right, right back. Well, you've heard me talk about Nemacolin Resorts. It's a 5-star in Farmington, Pennsylvania, an hour and a half from my front door. And it brings in celebrities. It brings in people from all around the country. It's over 2,000 acres. So there's something for everyone there. I won't get into all those details, but August 2nd, I will be at Nemacolin. There is a small casino on property called Lady Luck. And we're having a reunion of several of the founders of Casinos USA. We're going to have lunch and gamble with Scott, with Chris, and with Nick. And that's the crew that really pushed me into starting Casinos USA. We were on a Notre Dame football trip, and we were listening to some podcasts. We were staying at the Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City, Indiana, and we had a great time, and actually Scott had a really big win there on a slot machine. And it was a lot of fun, but it's great to see those guys again. Nick, of course, calls the show annually following his Atlantic City trip. That's Keno Nick. And Chris and Scott get involved with our Facebook group, and they make some comments occasionally, and and they follow the show and, you know, give me ideas, but they're all voice shy or whatever. I don't know. They're all outgoing people too, but I just can't get them to come on the air. But they were part of the group that said, you know, that they gamble and go around the country with casinos. And they said, you could do this, Coach Fab, you could do this better than what we're hearing. Well, I don't know about that, but we're doing it and we're enjoying it. So August 2nd, if you see a group of guys yelling and screaming at Lady Luck Casino on a Nemacolin Resort, come over and say hello. I mean, seriously, the founding fathers of Casinos USA. Okay. I wanted to talk today about the Supreme Court ruling regarding sports betting online. You know, they made it possible recently, a ruling said that each state could determine whether or not casinos could have sports betting, and also if casinos could have apps, you know, online apps for your phone or for your desktop that you could bet from. Well, Pennsylvania finally has theirs up and running, so you know, for the most part have the same app anywhere in the state, but of course mine's associated out of the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh, and you check it out. It's whether you're in Pennsylvania or not. It's called BetRivers.com. That's one word, BetRivers.com. The app is offering to match a deposit that you make. There's several ways to make a deposit. You can actually make it from your checking. That's what I chose. But they'll match it up to $250, and that's pretty inviting. What I did after my deposit was made, I withdrew my original money, and I've been playing with, I guess you call it, their money. And I lost my first couple of bets. I was just betting on some isolated things, but I finally won a couple of bets. Again, www.betrivers.com. And the app has a geo tracker that finds if you're making a bet in Pennsylvania. Otherwise, you can't make it. It's not legal. So this geo tracker, you know, goes with the download that you make. And what I did, I placed $10 moneyline bets on the Pittsburgh Pirates to beat the Phillies Saturday night a few days ago, and that paid $17.50. And I also picked the Boston Red Sox to beat the lowly Orioles, and that paid me $14.30. So I won $7.50 on the Pirate bet and $4.30 on the Red Sox win over the Orioles. And you might laugh about that, but I just wanted to start slow until I won something. And you can set up this app in many ways with your deposits and how you'll pick up your money. The two ways that appealed to me on picking up the money are going to the Rivers itself, to the sportsbook cage, and getting your money, or having the Rivers mail you a check, which is what I did with my initial deposit. And the reason I did it, I didn't want a credit card involved. It just thought, you know, I'm not going to deposit money, then you know, be paying interest on that deposit from a credit card. So you don't have to do that. You don't have to involve a credit card. At least it doesn't appeal to me. The future is now with these apps and sports betting across states because, again, there's 41 states that have legalized gambling, and so now they can have legal sports books as well. So give it a try. Think about it. And if you're not in Pennsylvania, you can check it out, and then you can also see if your home state has an app, and it's all about convenience with apps, that's all. I mean, if they have a sports book in a casino now, I noticed state of Indiana is now permitting their casinos, riverboat casinos, to put in sports books. I saw Boyd Gaming has an area where they're working at the Belterra to create a sports book. It's not up and running yet, but it won't be too long until it is. Okay, a quick break, and we're going to hear from Janie and how she enjoys casino resorts. And I know this will appeal to many, many people. Here's Janie right after the break.
Hi, this is Jane, again, back from our latest trip, in which I had a really good time because I had a couple big slot hits, which I hadn't expected because, you know, I'm not a high roller. I have a budget when I go into a casino. And I think part of this is because we go to so many casinos and we don't stay just one night. We stay several nights, sometimes a week, sometimes 10 days, different places. So I have to make my money last. And I never go to an ATM or, you know, try to get money. I have to try to make it last. So one thing I've learned over the years, where everybody congregates, you can see which machines are the newest and the hottest probably because they're always filled. So I started walking around and just looking to see what was available as far as the machines went. And what caught my eye, I won't deny that I liked how machines looked. From my first experiences in a casino, I started with poker, video poker, because that was one thing I knew, and some of the machines looked a little intimidating to me at the time, and I didn't know how to play them, or I was not beyond asking somebody that was seated next to me, you know, what does this mean? Because I was that naive about the slots. So, and again, now this is 20-some years ago that this started. So what I do, I walk around a casino and try to get a feel for the place and see where the brand new machines are or where the, you know, the older machines are. Some casinos get new machines every few months. You know, you go into the casino and you don't recognize the machines. And the newer machines are a lot larger. They're a lot more visual. They're really easy to see. And I think a lot of this, that they made them for senior citizens. So you wouldn't have a problem with them. But I still like some of the old machines. One of my favorite machines is Kitty Glitter. Love that machine. I have had such great luck on those machines in different casinos. You know, I have had, and I would play between 30 cents and 60 cents a hit. I never go in expecting that I'm going to win some big jackpot unless I'm playing a progressive and I'm trying to do that. But in Kitty Glitter, I mean, I've had rolls where when I've had a bonus, I have had $90 and $100, $150 hits on 30 cents. And to me, that's what I like. That to me is the excitement to see how much I can get out of very little money. And in Kitty Glitter, I don't know if you study any kind of slot machines, but Kitty Glitter, in their bonus, they have another game that's being played as far as you can not only have the bonus spins, but then if you fill in all the little cat figures with the diamonds, then you win more. And I've done that several times. So I just get real involved with particular slot machines. This last trip to Belterra, I was walking around and looking at different machines. I tried a few, and I wasn't having any luck at all. You know, and I don't like to lose all my money. But this one I wanted to play looked attractive to me. It's called Lucky Honey Hive or Lucky Beehive. I'm not even sure exactly of what the correct title is. And I sat down, and don't you know, I got a bonus immediately. And then I had $98 hits. I had a $56 hit, a $65 hit. I did extremely well on this machine, so much so that when I did finally stop, there was a gentleman that said to me, "Do you mind? I'm going to play this. Are you going to continue, or do you mind if I would play it?" He said, "I've been watching, and it seems to be really lucky." So I thought, I felt like I had accomplished something in that. Now, again, that's just me, but I go around trying to find old machines that I have known over the 20-year span, and I look for them to see if they're in any of the casinos, and then I'll try playing them. I do play new machines, too, though, and I always try to put, like, $20 at least in one of the progressives. You know, and I even play the one I played at Rocky Gap, where it was a dollar machine and $5 for the max. And I did win, $460 on that the last time I played that in about four spins. And the thing of it was, I went in with $5 free play from the casino, and I never put any of my money in. I hit it right on theirs. So to me, that's fun. I don't know if everybody would appreciate that, but I have to tell you that what the blue chip in Michigan City used to do, and I don't know, I haven't been there for a while, and I haven't seen it in any other Boyd casinos, but they used to, by the cashier's booth, have a rack that they put in stat sheets, and it would tell you, like, which slot machines were hitting for the month, or whatever had hit, what jackpots were paid, how well they were paying. They would give you the exact location of the machine, and I used to study those, and I would go and play those, and sometimes they didn't seem to hit again, and other times I did well. You have to understand, I don't take a lot of money. I have my budget, and it's just a little hint that for some people that, you know, might like slots like I do.
Janie, thank you. I was thinking about Jean Scott. They call her the...
Frugal Gambler.
Frugal Gambler, but they call her the Queen of Comps.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start calling you the Queen of Obscure Slot Machines because you're an expert.
Okay. I also wanted to mention that we had a night at the Rising Star in Rising Sun, Indiana, on their riverboat. Now, for several years, what they used to have is the non-smoking area down in the lower deck. Part of that has been closed. They haven't had it open, but now... It's reopened this year, and they made it into a lounge area that, and I noticed there had been a band that played there the weekend before, and they have the bistro-type tables, the high tables. It looks nice. They also still have their large halls where they have the larger, bigger entertainers. And they have programs there. Companies rent those spaces out for business conferences. One of the local fire companies, actually out of Kentucky, has a bingo there, I think, on Monday nights in the big halls. But they have this little bistro now that's a pleasant change there. I just thought I might mention that.
Well, I think the message, too, that Janie wants you to embrace is that you don't need to invest a lot of money when you go to a casino resort. You should gamble at the comfort level that you have. Like, don't try to impress people. You know, if you're going to play 30 cent, every time you push that button or pull that lever, that's fine. I mean, don't start playing $5 if you can't afford it, because that's not going to make you happy. You know, so I think that's great advice. Well, we've come to the end of our podcast, and Jane and I want to remind you that Casinos USA is a place
where every day is Saturday.
See you in a couple weeks. Thank you.